Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
It is Holy Smokes Catholic Review. I am your host, Father Scott, and I am flying solo today. I'm recording this on a Sunday. This is the 28th? So, Tony, of course, still in Hawaii, working at a surf shop. I haven't talked to him for about a week, week and a half. I do know that Tony was, well, I believe, making his way up to Molokai, where Father John Carney will be filling in for the priest. There's a priest there, Father Patrick, and he's Irish. And he's the pastor there in Molokai, this little island, you know, where St. Damien of Molokai served the people. So Father Carney called him and said, hey, you know, take some time off, take a couple of months, and I'll cover you. So Father Carney's either there or he's going to be there. And Tony, his plan is to go fly over, you know, you got to take a plane to, over to Molokai and spend some time with Father Carney, all right? When he will be back, I don't know, because, you know, a lot of people go to Hawaii and they just don't come back or they stay for a very long time. So we don't know what's going on with him. William today is at a concert. So called me to say, hey, I'm going to be doing a concert, all right? So that's what he's doing, all right? All right, so because of their absence... There's no game show today. All right. However, we will have a cigar review. Three, not one, not two, three different cigars that I will this time around be reviewing. Okay. So now we have next week or the next time around. Oh, I should tell you this, that there is no show next week. All right. Because I have friends coming in from Indiana. They're both priests. Father Rick Eldred is a priest with the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. He's in a little town called Bedford. And so he's coming. He's flying in tonight along with Father Rick or Father Eugene Schmidt, who is a priest with the Diocese of Evansville. So if you've ever been to St. Meinrad in southern Indiana, that's Evansville. Okay, so these guys are going to fly in tonight. And again, this is, I'm recording on a Sunday. So they're going to fly in tonight. And then we're going to do some golfing tomorrow and Wednesday. And then, we'll probably go up in the mountains. But then we're going to, on Thursday, we're going to hop in the car and drive to up to Evergreen, Colorado, which is just 30 miles outside of, well, past downtown Denver. And up in the mountains, beautiful, right? So we're going to be heading up there. And last time I was there, it was just plagued with elk and bear. You know, so you're driving down the road and bear in the middle of the road. And so any case, we're going to be heading up there for a week and to have some rest and relaxation and just have a good time. So we're looking forward to that. Probably take in, if the team is playing in town, the Rockies, of course, we usually check out the Rockies and go take in a game. Okay, so we'll be doing that. That means that next week, because we'll be gone, there is no Holy Smokes Catholic Review. It's okay to, on occasion, take a break, all right? Okay, so as I mentioned, there is no game show. Do want to mention that we're going to next time around 2 weeks. We did receive through not Facebook, but the other thing that William always talks about, some really great reviews through Instagram. That's it. So we're going to wait on those to share with you, and then some really cool news from a cigar manufacturer. Okay, so. Which is very promising. Okay, very cool thing. So we'll be doing that. And then I just want to, want to give a shout out to Jim over at Rocky Mountain Stone. Okay, because Jim at Rocky Mountain Stone, he's a parishioner of Father Marshall. All right. And he's the owner of this place. Okay, Rocky Mountain Stone. It's on off of Jefferson and I-25. So he, you know, we have to put, I called him about putting some rock around our building, some boulders. And I'll tell you why. Because lately in Rio Rancho, as I drive around, every time I turn a corner, I'm like, look, another stop sign that's been mowed down. Now, why is this? It's because people are drinking. You know, I'm sure that might be the case, unfortunately. But I think probably maybe more and more people are texting. And it's I've noticed my experience. I turn to my left. I'm at the intersection. I turn to my left. There's somebody who's texting. I look in the rearview mirror. The person behind me is texting. I look to my right. That person is texting. OK, so the more I drive, and then it's really sad when you see the mom with the kids in the back and she's texting and she's going 45 miles an hour down the road. So whatever the case, I just thinking to myself, our church, St. John Vianney, really, if someone were to run off the road, there's nothing stopping them from hitting our building. So I want to put some, and we have a very large front yard. My thought is to put, if we put trees, you know, trees going to take a long time for the trees to grow big, especially out here in the desert. Plus, you got to water them constantly. So it's easier to put boulders, you know, like decorative boulders, big boulders. So called up Rocky Mountain Stone. They took me to lunch. Then they took me to this guy, Jim, took me all the way up to their quarry, which is way south of Berlin, up in the Manzano Mountains, and up where the antelope and the bighorn sheep play, right? So I go up there to the quarry, and he says, well, pick out whatever you want. And I said, well, okay, we want some boulders, but also we need some rock for decoration, you know, for landscaping. Said, take what you want, you know. So big deal, got a big deal out of it, like a huge deal. So want to give a shout out to Rocky Mountain Stone, okay, for taking care of the parish of St. John Vianney. All right, so not only do they sell decorative, you know, for the garden and so on, but countertops, you know, from granite and so on. So just wanted to give a plug to those guys over at Rocky Mountain Stone, all right? All right, very good. So I'm going to relight now. Right up. And I'm going to do a cigar review in a minute. Maybe not a minute, maybe less than that. Okay. Very good. So here I go. So I have three. Okay. So the other night I started out with this. It was the Perla Del Mar. And I had received this as a gift some time ago, the Perla Del Mar. And I got to tell you, started out really nice. A natural Connecticut wrapper. So it was very smooth at first, kind of buttery tasting, I guess, and got halfway through it. The burn was okay, not bad, but got halfway through it and it started to taste sour. And once that happens, it's about a 6-inch cigar, so I still had about 3 inches left on it. So once it becomes sour, I pitch. So I pitched it, didn't finish it. Last night, I had the, the New World. I got the label right here. It's the New World by AJ Fernandez. Okay, so this was a box cigar, a Maduro, probably about 5 inches, maybe, I'm guessing. And so I sparked this thing up, and right from the get-go, this thing was amazing. So Hecho a Mano, this thing was amazing. It had an awesome taste, a Maduro, very smooth. It had a sweet sort of taste to it, you know, a little bit on the sweet side, which was very nice. And so on the label, it says the and it comes from, it's a Nicaraguan cigar. So On the label, it says satisfaction guaranteed. Well, I was very satisfied. Okay, so I had received this also as a gift, and I'd take more. This great cigar, New World by A.J. Fernandez. And as the burn went along, and it got really nice around about the end, the taste got better and better and better. And just a little bit at the end, though, it started to kind of break up just a little bit. Not a lot. Began to split a little bit, but not much. I was already pretty much done with the cigar before that started happening. So what an amazing cigar that was. New World by A.J. Fernandez. And at the moment, at this very moment, I am smoking a Rocky Patel. It's called The Edge, all right? It, too, is a Maduro, probably about maybe a 6-inch cigar. Pretty thick. It's pretty thick ring gauge. A little bit thicker than what I'm used to, but so far that burn is perfect. And the taste is good, all right? So very happy so far with this. I'll let you know if anything changes on this particular cigar, this Rocky Patel. It's called The Edge, again, our Maduro, okay? And so far, burn good, and the burn is good, and the taste, I'm just going to sample right now. Hmm. So good. Great cigar. Okay, so there you go. There's our cigar review. All right, so we're going to get into the gospel now. And as I mentioned prior to this, this is going to be a very short podcast because I'm flying solo. And again, next week there is no podcast, so keep that in mind. All right, so we're going to look at the gospel. This would be taken from the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. All right, so the gospel is taken from Luke 11, 1 through 13. All right, so Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.'" All right? He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks the door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" All right, there you have it. Once again, that is from Luke 11, 1 through 13 for the 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time. All right. So our Lord begins with this teaching because he was asked, you know, how should we pray or teach us to pray as John's disciples, you know, were taught, or how John taught his disciples how to pray. So Jesus then, this is where he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. So our Lord simply said, when you pray, say, "Father." And if you think about that, this prayer, the Our Father, has everything in it. You know, it's adoration, okay, petition, a cry for forgiveness, all right, and then a plea to be, you know, protected from the evil one, all right? So when you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be thy name." Now, I'm telling you this. This is a prayer that, and we, you know, we pray it during Mass, and we say it quickly, and oftentimes we're thinking about other things, we're not focused on the words. Same thing happens when we pray the Rosary. We say this prayer during the Rosary. We pray the Lord's Prayer, what, 6 times? Okay, so oftentimes we're just, you know, our brains are elsewhere and we just sort of, you know, ramble through it. That's not a good thing. That's not praying from the heart. So we really, first of all, we need to be focused on the words we say, realizing that we are talking to the Lord, and the one to whom the prayer is addressed is listening. There's this beautiful image from the Old Testament of the person on earth crying out to the Lord, and the Lord bending down from his abode in heaven, bending down to the earth to hear the cry of the penitent, right? Or the person making the petition. So when we pray the prayer or any prayer, we have to realize that the person to whom the prayer is addressed is listening. All right. So we just can't, you know, be thinking about football games and what am I going to do today? What am I going to eat after this mass? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do after I pray this rosary? We got to be focused on our prayers. We got to be praying. We have to pray from our hearts. You know, Our Lady appearing, you know, here, there, and everywhere reminds us constantly to pray from the heart. All right. So we got to be focused as best we can. Do distractions happen? Of course they do. You know, but we have to do the best we can to stay focused. All right. So there's that. Now, people who pray meditatively, and this is the case with many saints, can take this prayer and really just spend, you know, hours just on this one prayer, taking each line individually and then meditating on it. OK, so you think about this. Our Father. Just to meditate on that. Our Father. Whose Father? Our Father. Well, who's we? We, members of the body of Christ. So he is our daddy. Okay. God is not, you know, this God who's out there somewhere. We can't, you know, reach him, you know, he's out there somewhere, you know, and, you know, he's a slave master and we are the slaves. It's not what Jesus taught. You know, Jesus taught that he is our daddy. And the relationship between the subjects, we're the subjects, and God, it's not a relationship of slave and slave master. It's a relationship between children, okay? Child, son or daughter, and daddy. You know, what does that say? You know, we have to tremble. Of course, you know, we have to have a healthy fear. That means respect for the Lord. But we don't cringe anytime, you know, we call on the name. It's a relationship. Look at the relationship between dad and son. You know, the son respects the dad and is obedient, of course. Okay. But loves and trusts, you know, the son trusts the dad. I remember one time I was a little kid and we were in Arizona up in the mountains. I think probably out by Prescott, you know. Beautiful place up in the mountains. I had wandered off. I think I had to be about 7 or 8. Anyway, I wandered off out into the woods. And after about 45 minutes, I realized that I was lost. And so panic set in. And I was wandering. Finally, my dad found me. And so my dad, and there, once I was in the arms of my dad, all fear disappeared. And even though my dad was just he and I out in the woods, I trusted that dad knew his way back. Right. So dad was very, you know, he was very firm with me. He wasn't happy with me, but, you know, he picked me up and said, don't worry, it's going to be OK. All right. So that's the relationship between, you know, you, OK, and all of us and our Lord God. OK, we who belong to the body of Christ. So we can just meditate on that for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour. What does it mean? Our Father. Okay. Our Father. He's our daddy, a dad who cares, a dad who watches over his children. Just to meditate on that. What does it mean? Okay. So also a hallowed be thy name. A person can meditate on that for a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour. What does it mean? Hallowed. Hallowed means to be, it's holy, to be set apart from, and holy is his name. There is no other name under heaven or in the heavens or on the earth or under the earth. No name can compare. He's one. He's three and he's one. There's only one God. Okay. Hallowed be thy name. There is no other. There is no other creator. There is no other God. There's just one. And just to meditate, what does that mean? You can spend a half hour on that. Or more again, okay? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can spend an hour just meditating on what does that mean, okay? And of course, if you need some reading materials to help you along, that's fine. But you can just ask the Spirit to give you clarity on that if you just meditate on that. What does it mean, you know? But of course, if you're going to pray this way, you have to turn off the TV and the cell phone. You got to put it away, shut it off. have no distractions. This is why, by the way, going to make retreats at places like Christ in the Desert or some other, like, say, Benedictine monastery somewhere, just to spend time in quiet, go up in the mountains. You know, I have a friend who's a pilot, and he said that's some of his best meditative time is when he's flying, because he flies solo, just to meditate on these things. Okay. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? Okay, Lord, give me the things that I need just to get through the end of this day. The air I breathe, you know, good health, air in my lungs, water and sunshine, all these things that you provide for us in abundance, give them to us. But also, don't forget the Eucharist, this daily bread that is recorded. John records this in his sixth chapter. Jesus saying, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, the bread of life. The bread that I will give you is my flesh for the life of the world. And you eat it, you will have life forever, life to the full. Jesus, give me this bread. Give us this bread, you know, our daily bread. Okay. And forgive us our trespasses. What does that mean? I can meditate on that. What does it mean? It means that and this is an opportunity to do an examination of conscience. Lord, forgive me to the degree. Okay, as, the word as means equal to the degree that I forgive the person who's offended me. Okay, so Lord, to the degree that I'm willing to forgive the person who's offended me, then you forgive me. Okay, so Lord, you know, I offend the Lord. We all offend the Lord because we're weak and we sin. When we sin, when we commit mortal sin, we offend the Lord. So Lord, forgive me to the degree that I'm willing to forgive this person who's offended me. All right. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lately, there's been a lot of discussion because I guess Pope Francis wants to change the word or the wording of that prayer. You know, some people are upset, but I understand it because, you know, the Lord does not lead us into temptation. He does not push us towards temptation. He allows the devil to tempt us, but for a reason. Why he allows it? It's to make us stronger, to give us opportunities to make a decision for God, not for the evil one, but for the Lord. Okay, so when I'm tempted, that's an opportunity for me to grow in my faith by choosing the Lord. Okay, but the prayer, you know, Lord, just don't give me a test. Don't put me to a test or allow a test, the devil to test me beyond my means or my abilities. Okay, protect me from the wiles of the enemy, even though I should fall. Okay, Lord, you know, just protect me and deliver me and deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. You know what? I think it was either Saint Teresa of Avila or Saint Teresa of Lisieux. I forget which one, who, if I'm not mistaken, would begin to say in her meditation of this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, would begin with that line, deliver us from evil. Because, you know, until we are delivered from evil, then we cannot proceed to live according to the Lord's will. Okay, so she would begin, whichever saint it was, my understanding is anyway, that to begin with that part is what she did, praying first for deliverance from the grip of the enemy. Isn't that awesome? All right. So moving on then to the second part of this text that we have, our Lord is giving us a lesson on persevering through prayer. All right. So oftentimes we might even go to prayer not knowing what to ask for. Okay. So we need to know what to ask for. And oftentimes what we ask for are things that are not godly, or perhaps that the Lord does not want us to have. If we're praying for wealth or riches or for power, popularity, I would say that we are pretty much wasting our time. And if you read this text again, the Lord says at the tail end of this, here's what he says, okay? Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Now, the Lord is going to tell us what we need to ask for in a second. He said, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg. If we who are wicked know how to give good gifts, if you who are wicked, that is, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give? Here's what to ask for. The Holy Spirit. Okay. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. All right. Now, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit comes with his gifts. Okay. There's wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, and so on. Piety, fear of the Lord. If we have these gifts, then we can do anything. And remember something. It's very important. Okay. Many people make the mistake of believing that if they're rich, then they're successful. If they are powerful, then they've achieved success. If they are popular, they've achieved success. Nonsense. We are not successful. You know what? When we reach heaven, then we can say we're successful. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit and our collaboration and cooperation with that Spirit, because of the grace that he gives us, okay, our collaboration with and cooperation with achieving heaven, then we can say that we are successful. But I'm telling you this, that to ask for this gift, we don't just ask for it once. Okay, we must, every day we wake up, we must invite the Spirit to possess us, to take control of us, and to use us as he wills. Some Catholics make the mistake of, okay, I've been confirmed now. Okay, I've graduated. I've reached success. No more confirmation class. Okay, that's such a bad attitude. It's wrong. It just doesn't cut mustard. Okay, so every day we have this gift given us through this great sacrament of confirmation. We have to, every day when we wake up, okay, pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, take possession of me. Come to me. Fill me. Use me. And let me do the works that God is calling me to fulfill this day. Okay, so that's how that works. So we have to pray. And the Lord, if we ask for it daily, we get it daily and in abundance. Okay, what did the Lord say? He said, I will give to you, pressed down, flowing over, will be given to you. All we have to do is ask for this, but then we have to collaborate and correspond to it, or respond to it, that is, okay? So doing this, all right, then we can achieve our success. Our success, again, is not riches, popularity, or power. It's to achieve the glory of heaven, sanctification, to be made holy in the sight of the Lord now and forever, all right? So that's it for this time around. Just remember that there's no podcast next week because I will be away with my friends up in Colorado. Okay. Hey, we got another podcast called The Catholic Beef. And so we just wrapped up. We're in the middle of, I think it's going to be a five or six part series on Sola Fide, which is a teaching of Lutheranism. Okay. Sola Fide by faith alone. So we are refuting it. And it's a really good series so far. It available also not only on our website, sjvnm.org, but also on Google Play and on iTunes. OK, if you'd like to donate to our church, we would love to have you help us out. OK, sjvnm.org. You just go to donate, scroll down and click on where it says building fund and help us build the church. OK, so next time when we come back in 2 weeks, we'll have William back. And we shout out to Joe Baltz again, because he was on last time, was fabulous. So we're going to try to get him back as much as possible. OK, and then too, one day Tony might return from his little trip in Hawaii. Paradise, they call it, you know. All right, so that's it for now, and we'll be talking to you in 2 weeks. God bless you. Have a great rest of your summer.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.